This is the Horse Radio Network.
Good morning, horse people. This is Coach Jen from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for October 10th, 2013, episode 763.
Good morning!
It's Thursday.
Kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
Your presence is required on the command deck.
Yes, sirree, it's Thursday, so that means you only have one day left to surf the web for off-kilter classifieds and email them to jennifer@horseradionetwork.com with bad ads in the subject line. On tomorrow's edition of Really Bad Ads, brought to you by Stud Muffin's The Ultimate Horse Treat, the following fantastic prizes will be awarded. From Canter Lane Design, a poster print and note cards by Shelley Renee. Canter Lane Design offers interior design services along with a niche line of home decor items to make your space more inspired. Their design style is fresh and eclectic and infused with all things equestrian, from interior barn door hardware to poster prints and gifts for the equestrian. Canter Lane is your source when it comes to the interior spaces for the horse lover. And from horsegroomingsolutions.com, a grooming tote filled with products valued at over $100. When you need gentle, effective, economical products for your daily or show grooming needs, look no further than the Horse Grooming Solutions brands that you have come to know and love. Healthy Hair Care, voted number one horse health brand by consumers, Silverado Show Grooming, and Old Timers Equine. You can find them all at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can go online to horsegroomingsolutions.com. Now, sit back and enjoy this previously aired masterpiece gleaned from the Hit'em Audio Vault.
Products. Good morning, horse world.
If only I could have a puppet, I'd call myself so very lucky, just to have some company, to share a cup of tea with me. I'd take my puppy everywhere. La 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 la.
Oh, it goes something like this. It goes, snuggle puppy of mine, everything about you is especially fine. I love what you are, I love what you do, fuzzy little snuggle puppy, I love you. I say, ooh, snuggle puppy of mine.
Everything. I am just a puppy and I'm scared to death. I am just a puppy and you like my breath. What I really need is you to love me, 'cause I'm just a puppy.
Well, that's right, everybody. We are going to the dogs today. Today's episode is all about those canine friends of ours that we spend so much time with. And I can say that for myself, who I have my greyhound laying right here at my feet. How many dogs do you have at your feet right now, Jamie?
Four and a cat. So
we're going to have to do a separate episode sometime for cats. That's a whole different story.
Yeah, I know. It's weird to have the cat, like, and the dogs are all afraid of the cat. So the dogs have respect for the kitty cat. But yeah, four dogs here, pretty much. My life revolves around dogs. I tell Chad that when he's out of town, I'm a single mother to four children, because that is how they are. They take so much time of my day, so much time of your life, feeding them, taking care of them, taking them out, making sure they're exercised enough, making sure that they, whatever they need is taken care of. And that is what we horse people do. We have dogs. We just do.
And, you know, when you're going away, the cat's easy because the cat can live by itself if you put enough food out for 3 or 4 days and, you know, or check it on it every other day by somebody. The horses, you know, you feed them twice a day, make sure they're alive and walking around and everything, and they're good to go. It's the dog. We're going away this weekend up to the trade show in Philadelphia. And what did we have the hardest time finding a sitter for? Because she needs to go out 4 times a day. So it's the dog that requires the more effort than anything else.
Well, and the thing with dogs, horses don't need this so much. Horses need a lot, okay? But
right.
Dogs need emotional attention. Like, especially, I don't know, maybe my dogs are special, but they're all herding dogs, and they're all very smart, and they're all, like, they need attention all the time. They need you to play with them. They need you to look at them. They need you to talk to them. Is your greyhound like that, or is she kind of sleeps a lot?
Greyhounds sleep a lot. They, you know, it's a misconception about greyhounds. Yes, they do like to get out and run very fast, and they are very fast, but they only do that every two or three times a week. Every other time, they're just sleeping. You know, and she'll come over and say hi and stick her nose in every once in a while. She will chase the cat on occasion, but the cat does no parts of that and just smacks her in the face and that's over. So, you know, that's not much fun when the cat doesn't run.
I think that I need to send Boomer to live with Glory for just a week. Please. Maybe it'll rub off on him because that is a needy dog. Oh, my gosh.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about our dogs and a lot of dogs. We have several guests coming up on today's show. And one of them you're going to love, too. Her name is Tara Reed, and she is of the group Foolhardy, which travels the country doing Renaissance fairs. And you're going to like it because they have border collies. And very well-trained border collies. They do a show called The Untrained Dog Show. And it's very funny. I've seen the show before, and they do a terrific job with it. We have a lady from the Pet Finder Shelter, you know, Pet Finder Shelter Outreach.
That's where Brett came from.
Pet Finder?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Sure is.
Well, I didn't realize how big Pet Finder was. They deal with 13,000 animal shelters. So we're going to find out more about that. And then we have an author coming up that wrote a book called Successful Dog Adoption. And she's going to tell us everything Jamie did wrong in adopting her dogs. And really, no, she really is going to talk to us about when you go to the shelter, how do you pick a dog that really fits your family? And how do you pick a dog that's going to work out well? So she's going to talk about that. And then you have a guest coming on, too, from your special place.
Yes, my special place, which is prison. Actually, one of the officers, Officer Marie Trombi from the Maricopa County Sheriff's Department, is going to come on, and she is the one who's responsible for me having Joey and me having the new dog, Joy. And we're going to talk to her just a little bit about what goes on down there at the Sheriff's Department. Who knows? We may get some really awesome stories of her arresting really bad people. And that's what I love to hear from her is like, did you get him? Oh, yeah, I threw him in the back of the car. I was like, yes, you know, so. These people, they do pay, and they pay at the hands of Marie, or Officer Trombi, I guess I should call her. So we'll talk a little bit to her and find out what that's like to be the arresting officer and to do a little bit of good in the world. And
very
that's going to be a good show. Fun show.
Terrific. Well, we'll get started here. I want to remind everybody that we will not be doing really bad ads today. They'll be back next week. So get your ads into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. And we will be coming to you live Monday morning from the American Equestrian Trade Association trade show in Philadelphia. Regular listeners to this show know that we do that about every 6 months. And we're going to be bringing you lots of the new products coming out on the market for 2013. Of course, that's the trade show where the retailers go to buy from the wholesalers. So we'll be coming to you live, Jennifer and I, Monday morning from Philadelphia. But right now it is time for our Daily Whinnies. Well, my Daily Whinny, Jamie, goes out to the Shamrock Greyhound Placement Group. And they are the organization, the rescue organization, where we got Glory from. And you can find their website at greyhoundsofshamrock.org. And I was really upset to see something on one of the lists that we prepared for today. And that was the list of the least popular dog breeds. These are the ones that just not a lot of people have. And I was very unhappy to see Greyhound in the bottom 10 of the dog breeds.
No kidding.
Yeah, and I think it's just because people don't understand them. They think that they're probably holy terrors and things. They're absolutely wonderful dogs. They don't bark. You know, they sleep 99% of the time. You do have to have a place to run them, and you can't let them out without a leash because they see a rabbit, they're gone. So, you know, you do have that. But otherwise, they're just perfect dogs. They're very friendly to kids. You know, they don't bite. They pretty much don't whine. Most of them don't bark at all. They make terrific pets. We've had three now, and you just love them. I don't think we'd have anything else. So I just wanted to put a plug in for greyhounds.
Okay.
They're on the bottom.
Well, my daily whinny goes out to, well, I'm gonna give it to my dogs, but dogs as a whole, because I think they have some sort of intelligent mechanism that can tell when a human female, because I know guys are different, but a human female's bladder is full. Because let me
it's
tell
not
you,
not what I was expecting.
I know, so I did it. So I don't understand that the second I have to go to the restroom, because as a pregnant woman, 5 months pregnant, I go about 25 times a day. Like, it's affecting our water bill. That's how bad it is. So every time I go to the bathroom, you walk in, you turn around, you sit down, and boom, I have four dogs in my face. Four dogs. Why is that moment of peace and quiet when I sit down on the toilet and they open the door? Don't think they don't. Zenyatta actually reaches up and grabs a handle and pulls it down and pushes the door open to the bathroom.
I was going to ask you about the door. I was going to say, you know, they do have doors, Jamie.
Oh, no. And one is a sliding door. She puts her nose in and pushes it sideways and slides it open. It's bizarre. And she never closes it behind her either. But I don't understand how all dogs, why is it when you sit down on the toilet, just there a minute? Why do they find that the time where they need to all be pet and fight over you? Because let me tell you, it's a little distracting and I sometimes have to focus. So my daily whinny goes out to all of them, because right before the show, I'm like, Glenn, I drank some iced tea. I got to go to the bathroom. So I run in there and I sit down and they're all right there. All four just staring at me, panting, you know, I'm like, leave me alone for God's sake.
This is sexy talk for Friday morning, isn't it?
Isn't it wonderful? Yeah, I keep it real. Let's go.
Well, we took a look at what were the top dog breeds. We found several articles on it. This one I thought was pretty good. And we also, if you could pull up our Facebook page, we asked last week people, our listeners, what kind of dog breeds they have. So that it appears that the top dog breeds for horse people, and I think we probably all could have mostly guessed this, is Australian Shepherds was one of on the list, and I was kind of surprised at that. But apparently, they're used very heavily in the West for helping with cattle and livestock of all kinds, and they really, really are handy ranch dogs. So that's why they're pretty popular there, you know, as herders. And what I didn't realize is, contrary to their name, the breed was actually developed in the American West. They're not from Australia. They were developed in America, and they're known for their intelligence, endurance, energy, and strong herding instinct.
Yeah.
And they do. And it goes on to say, do not keep them in the house because they're not suitable house dogs.
Well, exactly. And we have one, and we have three shepherds and a border collie mix. So I get it. They have to be outside, but I think that's why they're a favorite with our listeners. I think by far, when we ask our listeners to post what kind of dog you had in a picture, I would say 90% of our listeners posted Australian Shepherds.
Is that right?
I mean, it had to be at least 80%, because it seemed to me like it was Australian Shepherd mutt, Australian Shepherd, Australian Shepherd mutt, Australian Shepherd, Australian Shepherd mutt. I was like, yeah, Aussies and shelter dogs. But that's because horse people, we like a dog with a lot of energy that'll go on a ride with us, but also the dogs need to be outside, and they end up in rescues a lot because a lot of people can't handle them. So they end up being in a shelter, like my dog was, being in a shelter, nobody would adopt her. And so they become great horse people dogs, even the second time around. So that is definitely one of the most popular, and being out here in the West, you see them everywhere.
Well, another one on the list that we do see at shows, we were at a driving show over the weekend here in Florida and saw a bunch of them, and that's corgis. Corgis have come on to, you know, years ago, Jack Russell Terriers are on this list too. 20 years ago, used to see pretty much exclusively Jack Russells at horse shows. And then the corgi started to make headway, and I think you're seeing a lot more corgis than we ever used to.
Yeah, that was another popular one on our Facebook page was people's corgis. And corgi people are interesting people because there is only corgis.
That's true. They have five of them.
That is the only kind of dog. And they'll have, yeah, they'll have like 5 to 10 corgis in their backyard.
So they collect them. Yeah.
But they're really, really cute. And corgis are one of the cutest puppies ever. So I get it. I mean, who could you, that's why you get 10 because you look at a litter and you're like, I can't decide. I'll take them all.
That's true. That is true. Well, Jack Russells, I didn't know this about Jack Russells. They've been around for about 100 years, developed from a strain of foxhounds by a preacher in England named John or Jack Russell. The dogs have been bred over the years for work rather than type. They resemble early foxhound and come in a range of sizes, as we know, and what most of us know what a Jack Russell looks like and how overly enthusiastic they are about everything.
Yes, they love everything. They're very excited about everything.
Everything. I had a client once when I used to be in the investment business. I used to go to her house. She had a Jack Russell. And the kitchen table was about 15 feet, I would say, from the kitchen counters. And that dog would take a flying leap onto the kitchen table and could, with one jump, hit that kitchen counter without touching the floor.
Wow.
I mean, they have amazing, amazing leaping ability.
That is a very poorly trained dog is what that is.
Yeah, and it was all over the table, all over everything, let me tell you.
I had a roommate that got, when I was in college, that got a Jack Russell puppy, and I moved out. It was like, I couldn't take it because he wasn't home enough and I was home a lot more. He worked. It was a house about 4 or 5 of us. And all the rest of us ended up having to deal with his Jack Russell puppy because he was never there. And it would destroy everything. Everything was gone in the house. So they're kind of like the Australian Shepherds. They just need, especially as puppies, a whole lot of exercise, which is why they make great horse people dogs and not so great apartment dwelling dogs.
And they're the exact opposite of the Greyhound in that they make terrific off the leash dogs. They'll hang around. They're pretty loyal. So, you know, they make wonderful off the leash dogs for hanging around the barn and things like that. So that's why you see a lot of farriers with them.
Yeah, and now the next one I didn't realize was a very popular horse person dog. I don't know many horse people with these dogs, and I don't think any of our listeners posted them on our Facebook page, and that's Dalmatians.
Yet we saw at the driving show over the weekend, we saw several of them.
Did you?
Yeah, drivers are the ones who still have Dalmatians. And, you know, that comes part of the tradition. You remember seeing the Dalmatian on top of the big carriages or on the fire truck.
The Budweiser carriage.
Yes, exactly. And what they were used for with the fire station is they actually ran ahead of the horse-drawn carriages and barked. And what their job was to, you know, get pedestrians and other vehicles out of the way. And that was before sirens. They were the original siren for fire trucks, for horse-drawn fire trucks.
No kidding.
And that's how they came to be. And then they also are very defensive about horses, and they guard the horses, and they'll guard the coach and the horses. So if you had a big fancy coach and you went and you stopped somewhere to eat for lunch and tied up your horses out there, they were the guard dogs that would guard the horses and the carriages. And so drivers still use Dalmatians quite a bit.
Well, that makes sense. Makes a lot more sense. Now, yep. What was the other dog that is popular with horse people?
Great Pyrenees. Now, I don't know that I've seen a whole lot of those. We had a friend who had one, but apparently also they're very popular in Europe with horse people because they also make great protection dogs. They'll guard you leave them out at night and they guard against coyotes and stray dogs and other things that want to eat your herd of horses or cattle or sheep.
You know what? There's a lot of people, and this is going to sound bizarre, that have them in my neighborhood.
My God, do they shave them? They have a lot of hair.
That's what I don't understand is why the heck do you have a Great Pyrenees in the freaking desert? But they make great herding dogs, and I don't know what they do to keep them cool, but I see them out all winter long. This past winter, I've noticed a lot of them because, you know, pretty much when everything's brown, you see a big white fluffy dog coming. You can see it because we trail ride around our neighborhood quite a bit. And my dogs go with us on the trail ride. So they stir up every dog in everybody else's house and create these big fights on the fence line, you know. So there are a lot of Great Pyrenees out here. Again, probably not the smartest thing temperature wise, but they protect your livestock from coyotes. And we have a lot of coyotes out here.
Well, we're not only going to talk about purebred dogs. Matter of fact, most of the rest of the show, we're going to be talking about adopting dogs from shelters and things like that. And to lead that conversation, we have our first guest. Her name is Sarah Kent. She's the director of Pet Finder Shelt Outreach. And that's, of course, at Shelter Outreach. And that's, of course, at petfinder.com, one of the leading sites if you're looking for a dog at a shelter or any kind of animal. They do horses, obviously, as well. So let's get Sarah on and learn all about Pet Finder and how you can use it to do what Jamie did and find your next adopted dog.
And on the line now is Sarah Kent, director of the Pet Finder Shelter Outreach. Hello, Sarah.
Hi, Jamie. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us. I must tell you right off the bat that I am a product of a Pet Finder adoption. I actually found one of my
not
dogs.
You, your dog.
I'm not the product. My family is the product of a Pet Finder adoption. Thank you for correcting. I came from a shelter in South Georgia. No, just kidding. So I find Pet Finder is so great. If you are looking, I had lost a border collie that was so special to me, and I just went on and found Pet Finder and searched border collies and found somebody who was fostering a dog. So it's not only just shelters, it's foster homes, sheltering communities. Even the MASH Sheriff's Department puts horses and dogs on Pet Finder. Tell us what you guys are and why you do what you do.
Absolutely. Well, we are the oldest and the largest searchable database of adoptable pets, and we do exactly what you did. We list pets on Pet Finder that potential adopters can go on the site and search until they find the right match, and then they contact that shelter or rescue group directly and move forward with the adoption.
How do you keep track of everything? How do you make sure everything is legitimate? How do you make sure that everything is on the up and up and it's not people selling pets? Like, that to me is the scariest thing.
Absolutely. And, you know, we have 14,000 different shelters and rescues all across North America. So it's really difficult to keep tabs on everybody. But we really rely on the feedback from our visitors. And boy, do they give it. Whether it's been a really great experience or a not so great experience, they let us know about that. And we really, really rely on that. So anytime we hear of anything big or small that could be questionable about one of our member shelters or rescue groups, we actually personally look into every complaint that we get. And so we'll reach out to the group and to other local organizations in the area and do everything we can to make sure that when you find your pet on Pet Finder, it's going to be a great adoption experience for you.
Now, you guys don't just have cats and dogs. Tell us everything that you guys do have.
That's right. Pretty much any pet that you can legally adopt out and legally have in your home, we've got on Pet Finder. So we've got everything from birds to horses to pigs and cows and other barnyard animals. We've got lots of chickens for adoption on Pet Finder. And then, of course, dogs, cats, all the small and furry animals, guinea pigs, rats, and mice. And then our reptile friends is well.
Oh, I'm in that department now. There's snakes and all kinds of creepy crawly things in here.
We've got lots of them.
There's some ugly creatures in the department, I got to tell you.
Oh, they're all beautiful.
Okay, yeah, this boa constrictor looks wonderful.
In their own way.
Well, I'm on just searching horses because that's what I do. And I mean, so many organizations. You've got retired racehorse organizations, you've got just rehabilitation places, and so many different rescues for horses as well. So people, when you're, you know, we obviously have a show for horse people, but if you're looking for your next animal, go to Pet Finder first and see if there's a horse that'll fit before you go out shopping for that particular horse.
We've got over 2,000 adoptable horses on Pet Finder, and I think a lot of people don't think of horses when they think of pet adoption. They think cats and dogs and rabbits, but they may not think horses, so it's great to get the word out there that there are lots of adoptable horses in need of homes.
Well, how can people get involved with you guys or help you guys or be a part of it? Because that is the one thing I find with animal people is if there's a way to help, even if they can't house an animal, they want to do anything they can to be a part and participate in helping.
Absolutely. And, you know, when it comes to helping animals, there are just no end to the ways that we can help. And there are really big ways that we can help, and there's really small ways that we can help, and all of them have an impact. So we really encourage people, if they do have some space in their home, to maybe consider being a foster home for their local organization, where they can take pets in temporarily while they wait for the pet's forever home to find them. And it gives that chance a nice, that pet a nice chance at being in a home and experiencing home life, and it readies them better for actually being adopted. Is simple things just like sharing pets on your Facebook wall or on Twitter. You know, we all have networks of friends out there. Mm-hmm. And there's just, you know, you never know who's going to be looking for a pet. So just by clicking that share button really quickly, you can get the word out about that pet looking for a home. And then, of course, just straight volunteer time and straight donation dollars are always really appreciated, even if it's just one Saturday every other month or a few dollars here and there. It really does add up, and it makes a big difference. These groups all operate on a shoestring budget and a shoestring staff.
But with awful big hearts, that's for sure. How many, and I don't even know if you know this number, but how many pets a year get adopted through Pet Finder?
We actually do know that. We do a poll of our members every year to get a feel for just how big of an impact Pet Finder has. And the numbers are really surprising. We help about 2.1 million pets find new homes every year. So that equals about 200,000 adoptions happening every month, which is just wonderful. And we're so excited to be able to help these groups reach their goals and find homes for these pets, especially when you get to numbers that big. It really makes a big impact on pets all across the country.
Well, and I got to tell you, I have to put in I have to say that the new website, you just launched this one, right?
We did. Yeah. Thank you for noticing.
Well, the searching on this is so darn easy. You know, like I put in location, Florida, type, horse, breed, and then, you know, your age or your gender, and it really, you can so easily narrow down. So many of these websites make it so difficult to try and search. And this one just is so easy now, and it is much easier than even your old website was.
It is. And, you know, we have an iPhone app, too, that's free, and people can download it. So even if you don't have a chance to get in front of a computer, you can still be browsing all of these adoptable pets right from your phone. And we've got an Android app coming in the very near future as well.
Well, before we let you go, I have one question. I don't know if Jamie has any more, but I have one more question for you. And that is, seeing you do these surveys, do you, when we're talking about dogs today, do you know what breed of dog is most adopted? Let's put mutts aside. We assume that that's probably the case. But is there a specific breed that's the most adopted every year?
I think, you know, we haven't searched on adoptions by breed, but I think if you look at the number of adoptable pets on Pet Finder, I think labs tend to take the cake on that. Labs and lab mixes, we definitely have plenty of those guys for adoption, and just by default, I think those are probably the most frequently adopted through Pet Finder.
And you know what that says to me?
What's that?
Without a doubt, is people freaking spay and neuter your labs. I mean, let's cut down on all of these animals. I'll get them a little soapbox here for a second. But you know what? You lab owners, there's so many labs and lab mixes for adoption because you're breeding too many. You know, don't even get me started on the pit bulls, because that is the one of the hugest breeds that you'll find in Phoenix that is sitting waiting for adoption is a pit bull or pit bull mix. So let's stop breeding these, all these animals. Go adopt. Stop breeding. Spay and neuter.
Absolutely. And there's lots of low cost spay neuter options out there too. So if cost is ever a factor, people can just reach out to their local shelter and find resources to get that altering surgery done either for free or at really low cost.
Well, and you know where you can find out your local shelters? Go to petfinder.com It'll tell you where your local shelters are.
Absolutely. We've got lots of them on there. We've got 14,000 different groups all across the country. So wherever you are, you'll be able to find a Pet Finder member.
Well, thank you, Sarah. We appreciate you being on. It's petfinder.com. Not every horse needs a supplement, and selecting the right supplement for your horse can be a science. Kentucky Performance Products simplifies your search for the right supplement, and they provide products that are scientifically developed to address the specific problems facing modern horses. Their website and customer service people can give you detailed information on each supplement, helping you find the right solution to your horse's problem. You can trust Kentucky Performance Products supplements to provide the ingredients you need in effective amounts so your horse gets the most out of each scoopful. Kentucky Performance Products, helping you keep your horses healthy, sound, and competitive. Visit them at kppusa.com. That's kppusa.com. I have something fun for you next here. Our next guest, you're absolutely going to love, Jamie. You know, most listeners to the show know that Jennifer and I owned our own acting company for a long time. And we did medieval feasts. And one of the groups that we worked with was a husband and wife duo called Foolhardy. And they played jesters. And I played the king in these shows, over 450 shows over 10 years. And on those 450 shows, during those 450 shows, I had one jester that I worked with for all 450. And his name was Mark Reed. And his wife plays a jester also by the name of Tara Reed. And she is one that trains their dogs for what they call the untrained dog show. And I can tell you that that's not true. These dogs are very well trained, and they put on a very, very funny show, and they love it, and they use border collies. So let's talk to Tara and find out how she trains them and why border collies are so good at entertainment. Well, hi, Tara. It's good to talk to you again.
Hi, Glenn. It's wonderful to speak with you again.
Now, I want to apologize to everybody. We have a little bit of a bad cell connection, but Tara's out in the middle of nowhere in Texas right now. Am I right about that?
That's right. I'm in Page, Texas, about 40 miles east of Austin, and preparing for a Renaissance fair.
Now, you guys do something called the Untrained Dog Show, which I've seen several times, and your dogs are anything but untrained. Tell us about your doggies and why you chose Border Collies for this show.
The reason that we chose Border Collies, first and foremost, is because there's a gentleman that travels with a sheep herding demonstration, and he has border collies and breeds them, and he also does Renaissance fairs. And so when we initially met him and met his dogs, we just fell in love with the look of the dog. And then much to our delight, after we got a border collie, it turns out that they are the perfect dog to perform with.
And why is that?
Super smart, and they like to work. They're very friendly and outgoing. Yes, they look great in costumes. And don't let anybody fool you. Our dogs love their collars because putting on their costume means that they get to go to work. And they think of work as fun and playtime. So my dog puts his head through the collar to get ready for work.
I have seen that.
They love it.
They do love it, and I have seen them. And in the star of your show, what's his name?
His name is Blockhead. He was born on Valentine's Day, so he's going to be 12 years old here in just about a month. He was born with a square marking on the top of his head, which is why we named him Blockhead.
Tell us about the training process and what goes into and how long it takes them to train a show in front of, 1,000 people.
Well, for us, each dog is a little bit different. And as soon as we bring the puppy into our home, we start the training process. And one thing that I've noticed is good to work within what your dog does naturally. So, for example, my dogs are herding dogs. They have a strong work ethic. They really like to be active and engaged and have something to do. And two of my dogs, the females, will never retrieve anything. But the boy dogs will bring you stuff all day long. So you work within whatever your dog's natural inclination is. And then positive reinforcement, love, 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 and make it fun.
Do you use treats as a positive reinforcement, or are you using, adoration and love as your positive reinforcement?
Actually, we use three different forms of positive reinforcement. The first and the most compelling is food. all my dogs really respond well to treats, especially they're the liver kind. and small training treats. And there's also certain training that my dog Blockhead really responded to a toy. So, for example, to get him to roll over for the first time, after maybe a month of trying to get him to do it for a treat, I saw how excited he was for his ball, and I took the ball across his body like you would a treat to get your dog to roll over, and I found out that he is, in some cases, more motivated by toys. And then, of course, the third reinforcement is positive reinforcement and love and petting. But they still look for a treat.
And I know that's true with the police dogs, too. They tend not to give them food treats. They tend to want them to look at the toy as the reward. And it seems to work very well for the police dogs because they don't want them food motivated.
I can understand that.
I'm going to say, what kind of things do you do in your show?
Well, we do some standard tricks. Like each dog comes out, gets introduced. Blockhead rolls over across the front of the stage about four or five times. And he gets up on his table. All the dogs view the table as their home base. That's where they're supposed to return between tricks. And Blockhead, what we did was we sort of followed our dog's lead, again, with what he does naturally. And we kind of let him set the tone and speed of the show. And so we built a bunch of props and put together some jumps and a tunnel and think activities for him to do. But really the fun part of this show is how our dog has upper hand on us. And like as we're talking to the audience, Blockhead will jump off his table and steal props out of Marquise's hand. And then he won't give them back. And so it's a lot of comedy-based dog tricks.
And I like it too, Tara, because you involve the dogs with the audience. The dogs are out in the audience doing things and doing some of the different tricks and things with the audience, and that makes it much more fun for the audience to watch.
I would agree, and the dogs, three of my four dogs really, really love the audience, and then I have a new adoption. He's actually a miniature Australian Shepherd, and he's a bit shy of people. So he's super smart and trainable in every way, and that's something that we're still making progress on, but it's a day-to-day thing, conditioning him to be around people and still do his thing.
Now, you mentioned adoption. Do most of your dogs come from adoption, or do you get them from the breeder?
My oldest dog, who we just lost this summer, was an adoption dog, a rescue dog. And our most recent dog, our puppy, we adopted from a woman who couldn't keep him any longer, so he's a rescue too. But my three border collies I got from a breeder that travels doing Renaissance fairs with sheep herding demonstrations.
Gotcha. Now, you mentioned that Blockhead was 12 years old. Are there challenges that come? Because I know with our older horses, you have to keep them as performance horses. There are certain things that you have to do for their joints and all that. Do you have a special supplement or do you have something that you use with Blockhead at 12 years old to keep him performing and rolling over and keep him happy?
Yes, we sure do. He's on Dasaquin, which I believe has glucosamine and MSM and some other ingredients, and he's responded very well to that. And we also have modified our equipment a little bit. We made his table a little bit shorter. We've put ramps going in and out of our home, just so that he has a very easy and comfortable way of doing what he's doing, because he for sure is not ready to retire yet.
No, probably in his brain, he'll never be ready to retire. That's what the border collies do. They're just all the time. Let's go. It's like a horse that you retire. All of a sudden they lose their job and they get really old really quick. So you're probably keeping him a lot younger by giving him the job to do.
I
would like to think so. He's a very happy dog.
I think one of the other things too, that you have to visualize, and we'll let you go here, Tara, is that, they travel around the country, Mark and Tara do, with how many dogs again?
We have four dogs.
They travel around
seven
the
country. Doves.
Yeah.
And a coffee table.
And have any of the dogs ever eaten the doves for lunch? I just want to know.
Nope.
Nope?
Okay. Actually, the doves and the dogs, even the new adopted dog, really don't pay any attention to the doves. And on the rare occasion that the doves are having a quote-unquote walk in the house, free time where they get to fly around, they will sometimes land on, like, Blockhead's head, and he just looks at us like, really? Doesn't move a muscle, but he definitely looks to be rescued from that.
Wow.
No, they all get along great, thank goodness.
Well, you can find more about Mark and Tara, my old friends, at foolhardy.com. That's foolhardy.com, and we'll put a link onto it on our show notes as well. And what Renaissance Fair are you at next here?
We are at the Sherwood Forest Renaissance Fair, which is in Page, Texas, just outside of Austin. And it opens the second weekend in February, runs every weekend through the end of March.
Very good. If you can get out to see them, definitely do that. We got to see them perform in Louisiana here about a couple months ago when we made our trip over there, and it was so good to get to see our old friends again. And you guys are as terrific as ever.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for the call, and it's very nice to meet you too.
Well, you know what? I gotta say though, you keep looking younger, and Mark keeps looking older. I'm just saying.
Woohoo! Go, girl.
I think my dogs keep me young. I keep them happy, and they keep me happy and young.
Coach Jen here, host of the Horse Tip Daily Show on the Horse Radio Network. The way consumers interact with the brands they have trusted for years and those they are about to fall in love with for the first time is becoming more and more mobile, literally, and will continue to do so for the foreseeable future. Podcasts or internet radio shows like this one combine the new consumer preference for on-demand information and entertainment with the power of niche market audiences. Advertising on the Horse Radio Network podcasts allows you to reach the equestrian consumer using today's preferred on-demand delivery system. It's cost-effective and flexible, able to reinforce your existing marketing and social media strategies. To learn more about advertising on this show or any of the shows on the Horse Radio Network, contact us at 859-951-2022 or you can email us at glenn@horseradionetwork.com. That's Glenn with two N's at horseradionetwork.com. Come and join the Horse Radio Network family. You'll enjoy the ride.
Well, that was a lot of fun. They travel. They have a van. They have a big van, like you'd see like a church van. And they travel pulling a very large camper. They pull a camper with this van, and they have the four dogs and all the birds and everything else that they perform with, and they travel the country that way in this tight little space.
That's amazing. That's just amazing. Good for them.
It has to be a couple that gets along is what it has to be.
You got to be a wee bit crazy to do that, but you were kind of a wee bit crazy, and you did stuff like that too, so it all fits.
Yep, it all fits. That's exactly right. Once you're a performer, you're always a performer. And those two will die performing, and they should. They're terrific. Do you know, I actually, they met as a result of our acting company. And so they got together as a result of that. And I actually, as the king, as my king character, they got married at a Renaissance Fair in Ohio. And I went out and actually helped officiate their wedding in Ohio. So it was a lot of fun.
Now, that's how you met your wife, was at basically, Renaissance Fairs are just pickup zones. Is that what I'm getting?
There are girls that wear very low-cut dresses and push-up bras. Yes. Yes, a lot of cleavage. Yes.
And men in tights
and dresses. Yep, that's exactly right.
Nice.
Why do you think they're so popular?
God.
Our next guest is Sue Sternberg. She wrote a book called The Successful Dog Adoption. And she's going to come on and tell us what you look for when you go to the kennel or you're on Pet Finder, you know, what kind of dog is going to fit best for our family. So let's get Sue on.
Well, I would like to welcome our next guest, Sue Sternberg. She is the author of Successful Dog Adoption, which you can find on Amazon.com. And she's got a couple dog books. So when we decided we were going to do a show dedicated to the horse person's dog, and we ask a bunch of our listeners to post online what kind of animals they had. So many of them had dogs that came from shelters or kennels, shelters. So we thought, well, we need to talk to the expert. So that's why we have Sue on here. Hey, Sue.
Hi. Thanks so much.
Tell everybody a little bit about yourself.
My name is Sue Sternberg, and I have been working in shelters. And in the shelter industry since 1981. And I started my own shelter in upstate New York in 1993. And I began at that point to develop programs for animal shelters that are now national programs. And now I spend my time promoting the national programs. And the three national programs in a nutshell, one is called Assess a Pet, which is how to understand the behavior and temperament of shelter dogs so that we can make better placements and make more safe and permanent adoptions and matches. And I have a program called Train to Adopt, which teaches animal shelters and people who volunteer there how to train the dogs to improve their behavior and improve their chances for adoption and make them easier once they get into the home because they behave better. And I have a third program, which is a community outreach program called Training Wheels. And the idea is to bring the resources of the shelter to the people before the people need the shelter.
Wow. Well, so you're actually, you're not just taking it from adopt a dog, everybody. You're actually kind of going to the foundation of the whole thing and saying, here's what you can do as a shelter to help these dogs even more. And I'm interested in something you said about the training part of it, where you teach shelters, because so many times you go into these shelters and these dogs that have been, especially at no-kill animal shelters, in these cages for months, and they're going bat crazy, and people think, oh my God, I don't want that dog, or it could be cage aggressive. So how responsive have shelters been to your program? Because I think that's such a great idea.
Oh, they love the program, and there's a huge response. I've been promoting and sort of demoing the program for a few years. And everywhere I go, people really like it because it's a really accessible program, and the training takes a very short period of time, and it serves two purposes. One is it actually trains the dogs in behaviors that we all want, such as, you know, not to jump up, how to be attentive, how to offer good behaviors instead of offering bad behaviors. And at the same time, the techniques help prevent the stress of the deterioration of the dog's personality in the kennel. Just like you were describing, you know, when a dog has been in a kennel for a couple of months, he'll start spinning or pacing, you know, just like he'll look like a zoo animal from the zoos of our childhood, you know, that were just inhumane. And so the program addresses quality of life as well. But it's been very well received, and I think certainly the public likes it because they get to bring home a dog that is knows how to learn and enjoys learning and has a few good behaviors to build upon.
Yeah, a little more balanced too. Well, that's definitely not why we got you on here, but where can, like, say I volunteer at a shelter and I want to tell them about it, where can they find this program and what's it called?
Oh, the program is called Train to Adopt, and it has its own website and its own Facebook page, and so there, it's traintoadopt.org or com.com. It doesn't matter. All the domains will lead you there. And if listeners, both the public and professionals, go to greatdogproductions.com, that's www.greatdogproductions.com, that has a pet side and a professional side with resources that will help people after they've adopted, and it'll also help help them choose which dog to adopt, and it will help shelters. It's a whole professional page on helping shelters make better choices, and, you know, so those two sites will lead people everywhere they need to be.
And I can hear some barking in the background, too.
Yeah, I know. And that's my next question is, Sue, let's be honest here. How many dogs do you have?
I only have four, which is kind of a lot, but I have four. One is 15 and one is 14. And I have one young one who's two and one who's four. So I have four dogs and one cat.
Okay, then I don't feel so, you don't feel, but I have four and one as well, so.
Okay. Oh, okay, so I don't sound crazy.
Oh, gosh, no. Honey, we're not crazy, we're just loving. That's what it is. So
they're my family.
Oh, I know. So that's what I wanted to ask you too. So say I have decided that I would like to bring a pet into the house, and I have a kid, I have a small child, and how do you recommend that people go? What do they look for if these places haven't had the train to adopt program? You know, what is a good way to go about finding a dog for your family?
Well, I think if you have young children in the house and you're going to go adopt a dog, I actually think it's important to contact a professional and to have a professional trainer or behaviorist go with you, unless the shelter does very extensive behavioral assessments, and the assessment that I would recommend is Assess a Pet. And so the family can ask if the shelter does assess a pet, because when you're talking about young kids, there's a huge risk. And if you're bringing home a shelter dog, which often is an adolescent or an adult dog, if there's a problem, it can do more damage than if you brought home a puppy who's a problem, who's not developed yet. So I take it pretty seriously when families with young children want to get a dog. And I don't think shelters always take enough responsibility for really, really thoroughly going through their dogs and trying to make the safest match. So if you have young kids, I would ask for help with a professional. Otherwise, when you go in to adopt a dog, this may sound simple, but it's absolutely key. You want to pick the very friendliest dog. And that means when you go into the kennels and you're walking, you know, down the aisles and the dogs are in the cages, you want to go up to each dog and you want to bend down and you want to, you know, say hi and put out the back of your hand through the, you know, on your side of the chain link and to make small talk with the dog. And what you're looking for is a dog who approaches your hand, whose tail, no matter how high it started out, if you look at the base of the tail, you want to see the base lower. You want to see the dog sort of come say hi to you in a cashew formation, in a curled manner. You don't want a dog who comes at you like straight as an arrow, all frontal. A friendly dog will come in all curvy and low. And a friendly dog will come in with a low or a helicopter wag, and his ears will be back. And he will come up to the front of the kennels, and he'll stay there. No matter where you move your hand around, you know, if you move it to the left, he'll follow you to the left, and he'll nuzzle, and he'll try to get you to pet him. Friendliness. Once you've seen the friendliness in the kennels, you want to ask to meet the dog out of the kennels. And if you can get into an indoor area, you want to see the same amount of friendliness from the dog to you when you bring him out. No excuses, and don't mistake sort of excitability, sort of a high state of arousal or panting with friendliness. Friendliness is an action. It's not it's not just a description. Friendliness, a dog must act friendly, can't just look it. And so, you know, acting friendly is approaching the human without even being called and offering gentle, physical, affectionate contact. So, you know, you want a really people-oriented dog.
Right, right. Well, and so much of this just sounds like horse behavior and horse language. It's basically you want a horse, a dog that is a little more submissive than aggressive, and yes, just read their body language and be able to see, yes, how they're going to react to you, much less, exactly. But you're right. Having kids, you would really need, if you're not good at reading the body language of a dog or an animal, definitely get some help, because it's going to be important to find the right member for your family. Yep. Somebody, a dog that gets along with you. And let's see, anything else that we need to definitely know when we're going into the shelter?
Well, in my book, Successful Dog Adoption, I wrote it so that a member of the public could actually go into any shelter, even one that doesn't do any sort of assessment, and they can do a set of little tests to try and determine the safest dog to get. And it's the only book of its kind because it's actually very detailed. You know, it says, you know, this is what you should look for. This is what you should do here. You know, this is how you test for food bowl stuff. And there's risks in testing, but the risk of not testing and just like trying to eyeball and going home with a dog that you think is nice is just, it's too great. And it's too much of a crapshoot because, you know, and a dog can seem friendly, but then bring him around another dog. You know, maybe he's not friendly with other dogs. Or maybe he seems friendly, but go near him when he's got a bone or a chew toy and he's going to bite your hand off, you know. And these things are important to find out. I believe that all shelters should take responsibility and very thoroughly assess the dogs that are going to go back out, you know, into the community. But the reality is not all of them do. Not all of them feel that they have time for it. And the reality is a lot of shelters evaluate their dogs, but err on the side of placing more difficult, if not sometimes aggressive, dogs because it's too hard for them to think of euthanizing a dog that's, you know, that is aggressive. And so, you know, I mean, that sounds sort of harsh, but the reality is when it comes to adopting, you do not want a dangerous dog in your home, in your neighborhood, in your community.
There's so many good ones. So yeah, many good absolutely. Ones out there, you know. So where can people find your dog before we let you go? Find your dog. Find your book.
In the house.
You can find all four of my dogs right here next to me. But the book, Successful Dog Adoption, is available through www.greatdogproductions. And we would be happy to send a copy. And so it's available online. It's, I think, $16.99. And it's very thorough. It also will give you advice on what to do after you bring the dog home, you know, if you have another dog or if you have a cat or if you've got kids, and gives you things to look for. It's pretty detailed behaviorally, which is really what I think people deserve.
The dog adopter's Bible. Let's
right.
just say it. Let's go ahead.
A dog adoption for dummies right here.
That's right.
Well,
and
Sue,
for smart
thank
people
you.
Too.
Thank you so
You're
much,
very
Sue Sternberg. Sternberg, the book is Successful Dog Adoption. One of her books. Go to greatdogproductions.com. And we'll put that on our Facebook page. Thank you so
you
much
so
for
much.
Joining us.
Thank you, Sue.
Have a great day.
You're welcome.
All right.
Well, there you go. And we're going to take a quick break here for a song about dogs, ironically enough. And then
oh,
we're
no.
going to.
What did you find?
I'm not telling you.
Don't tell me. Don't tell me.
And then we're going to be right back with a guest that Jamie set up. And because she spends a lot of time in jail nowadays. And it's nice that they let you record from the stalls every or from the cells every morning. It's really nice that they let you do that.
See, it's all a facade.
We'll be right back.
Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out?
Oh, and you know what happens when you let the dogs out. Once a week, you have to trudge on out there to clean up after the dogs. And I got a question for you. Why is it that we find cleaning up the yard after the dogs so much more revolting than cleaning up our horses' stalls or the paddocks? Well, one reason is you have to dig through the deep grass and you never have the right tool for the job. Well, now you do, thanks to Equity MFG at pooperscoops.com. That's right, pooperscoops.com. When it comes to picking up canine poop, the Equity Flex and Fork has no equal. It goes back to the basics, a simple, fine-tined fork that does the job. At the urging of dog owners and professional dog duty cleaners, Equity Manufacturing is making their proven fork available to the canine market. It's molded from ultra-strong plastic. It features 25 tines that are only 5/16 of an inch apart, just the right distance to weed the poop from the lawn. And because of that, it eliminates that problem that we all have when cleaning the poop out of the lawn is flicking. And you know what flicking is. Yes, it flies up and it hits you in the face, and there's nothing more disgusting than that. Well, because of its construction, the Equity Flex and Fork solves that problem. It also features a fiberglass pole and a comfortable ergonomic grip. The shaft is full length, so there's no scooping or bending required to collect the poop, and it has a perfectly sized basket with a taller sides that means less trips to the waste can. It's super tough, and it's the perfect manure fork for the job, that terrible job we all hate of cleaning up after our dogs. So head on over to pooperscoops.com. That's pooperscoops.com, and check out the Flexin' Fork. Who let the dogs out? Who
let the dogs
out? I come in smooth and I come in wire coats. I have short legs and a long pointy nose. Some call me hyperactive. Let's just say I'm not slow. My name is Jack, Jack Russell. I'm quick. Hustle bustle, hurry around the barn or the town. I'm all heart and muscle. Energy is one thing I don't like. I'm fast. Jack Russell. I've got some pretty tough friends, and they're called pugs. They're quick, but they can't breathe well with those flat mugs. So in a race, I leave them in the dust. My name is Jack, Jack Russell. I'm quick. Hustle bustle, hurry around the barn of the town. I'm all heart and muscle. Energy is one thing I don't lack. I'm fast. I'm Jack, Jack Russell. Jack Russell. Jack Russell. Why be a couch potato when you can bounce off the walls? I'm just a big dog, 10 inches tall. My name is Jack, Jack Russell. I'm quick. Hustle bustle, hurry around the barn of the town. I'm all heart and muscle. Energy is one thing I don't lack. I'm fast. I'm Jack. I'm bad. I'm Jack. Jack Russell.
I would like to introduce our next guest because we are doing a show all about dogs, and this woman is totally responsible for one of the dogs that is currently sitting at my feet right now. And her name is Deputy Marie Trombe of Maricopa County Sheriff's Office Animal Crimes Unit. That sounds like a reality show. Animal crimes. Have you ever been on that Phoenix, like animal police or whatever?
No, I never have.
No. What's wrong with those people?
I know.
Yeah. The women in Maricopa County, is that what you're talking about, or the animal cruelty show that they have?
I think they had an animal cruelty show starring Phoenix, which was frightening enough.
Yeah, it is. It's is it Animal Cops Phoenix?
Yeah, yes. Something like that.
Humane Society, their investigators are on that show.
They need to get you involved because I've actually talked about you before. One day I was out riding a horse and this cop car pulls up, like undercover looking police car pulls up, and this woman gets out with a gun strapped to her hip and starts asking me about a horse that lives here. And I was like, I'm going to.
That was me, right?
Yes, it was. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to jail. What did I do?
You did scare her to death. She talked about that on the show the next day.
Oh,
she,
really?
Yes.
Sorry.
Does a ride the bench live here? What did he do? So, but we're good friends since then. And so Office Deputy Trombi lives in my neighborhood. It's hard not to just call you Marie, but lives in my neighborhood. And actually, when I got involved in being able to do the MASH Horses Facebook page, she's actually on the Facebook page with me to answer some questions and stuff. So she's the one that posted the picture of Joy. Now Joy used to be Spot on the Facebook page and melted me 3 days before Christmas.
That was my plan, you know. I wasn't sure how your husband was going to take it, but that was kind of my plan. I knew you had a big heart for horses and dogs, and
yeah.
And he's such her husband is such a suck up when it comes to her.
He just looks and shakes his head like, thanks for the new addition to the family.
I totally sold him on the dog. He had to. When your pregnant wife starts crying about a dog she's never even met because she saw a picture of it, he had no choice. He had no choice. So, Marie, tell us, what is a day in the life of an animal crimes officer?
Oh, well, it's different every day. Today I'm stuck doing paperwork. That's the boring side of it.
Right.
And probably will be
I said, feed us something a little more exciting than paperwork.
I know. Well, today it is, and probably the rest of the week I'll be stuck here, but you know, we'll say Friday I went out on calls all day. And at my very last call, end of the day, I actually had to seize a dog. This case is obviously hasn't gone through the judicial system yet, so not going to talk a whole lot about it, but the dog was in need of medical treatment and it wasn't being provided and it hadn't been. So I seized the dog and took it immediately to a vet, and, you know, just, it goes like that. You just never know, you know, what you're going to run into out there.
Now, I have jump in here, Jamie. We've all watched those animal cop programs. And what I've noticed is different jurisdictions have different rules. And, you know, some of them, they have to go through what seems like royal flaming hoops. They can't, even if the dog looks like it's on death's bed, they can't take the dog out of there. Yours is a little bit different than that. You have some leeway there?
Well, as far as I know, Maricopa County Sheriff's Office is the only law enforcement entity here in Arizona that has a animal cruelty unit. We're dedicated to going out and investigating animal cruelty, and we're all deputies.
So you're deputies. Official cops. You're
right.
You can arrest people and all that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I, you know, prior to my stint here with the animal crimes unit, I was with our mounted unit that we had, and I did 3 years there. And before that, I was in patrol. So we are all deputies. We do have one civilian investigator, but we can arrest on the spot. And that's different than the Humane Society, where they're a civilian entity, and they can't do that. They have to call the Phoenix Police Department to do any arresting.
So you've been, I've been to your office. I was going to get to do a ride along with you, and then this whole pregnancy thing happened. Yeah. She won't let me ride along with her anymore.
No, you can't.
I think it had something to do with having to pee every 5 minutes, but she didn't say that.
There's no stopping to do
that.
There's
no stopping.
And you don't go, I guess you don't go to somebody's house and you're arresting them and be like, excuse me, can I use your bathroom?
No, not at all.
So you've actually, you know, on a serious note, you've been to some pretty horrible places, and I've seen some files in your office that you've shown me that are cases that are closed that just break your heart. We're going to get to the positive side of this here in a minute, but give us an example of maybe one of the worst places you've ever seen.
As far as filth,
just the animals in bad condition, because I think so many times people that live in a realistic, real world with animals, they don't really honestly always believe that stuff like this happens, where you go and you see the animals that are dead and dying. I mean, just describing where Joey came from what you were telling me is just horrible in itself.
Yeah, that one, that case actually was in 2011, and it was my case, and a person had 30 horses, and 18 of them were basically starving to death. And that is something I'll never understand. I'll never understand about any of the cruelty cases. But on that particular day, I took 18 horses, including your Joey, off that property. You know, I had to leave some because usually when we go out to a, like, especially a big scene like that where we do a search warrant, we bring a veterinarian with us, whether it's an equine veterinarian or a small animal vet or an exotic animal vet. And we could kind of go on the advice of them. Plus in connection with the information that we have, and the obvious signs, of animal cruelty. So those animals were removed for failure to provide food. And that case right there, I wanted to leave the unit. It was probably one of my worst cases because there were so many of them, that were starving, and we actually lost one the very next day, and they started to drop, you know, like flies. We lost 7 total out of 18 due to starvation. So wow. That was a horrible case for me. I've owned horses since I was 13 years old. So, you know, they're dear to me, and, you know, I was with the mounted unit for a few years with the office. So horses are, you know, I'm all about horses.
Right. Right. Now you've also described some of the dog scenes and mm-hmm. just the filth that people live in. And I watch the show Hoarders all the time. Mm-hmm. It just makes me clean my house. But what is the scenario with dogs and people? And how does that happen?
You know, some of them, I think people get overwhelmed, you know, they're there to rescue and they just get overwhelmed. And, you know, if their house is full of 60 cats, they don't smell it. You know, the feces and urine everywhere, they don't smell it. But when you walk up and you can smell it, you know, I think that's more of an issue that they have to deal with themselves. We've been to those places before and you just don't understand how those people can live in those conditions. And other situations where, you know, they maybe have only 20 dogs. And I'm saying only 20 because a lot of people don't think that's an issue.
Nah.
You know, and one in particular, I'm looking at a picture here in my office. Her name is Hope, and she's a pit bull. I walked up to a place out west, and this woman who I'd been investigating for a few months had 15 to 20 dogs all chained up out back. And I walked around the corner on the outside of the fence and I saw this dog and it was basically on death's door and it just looked at me with this pitiful look. And it was covered in mange and the legs were all swollen and cracked. And I was like, how do people do this? And, you know, I immediately seized that dog and it actually ended up living. I, in turn, I went and served a search warrant the next day and took everything else that I could.
So these people that treat animals like this, when you are walking down the street, is there a common, and I know I've asked you this before, is there a common factor like, oh, that's going to be one of those people, or is it just everyday normal looking people?
You know, that's a hard question. I think it's you could look at anybody and walking down the street.
People are people, right? I mean,
like, yeah, it doesn't matter who they are.
So there's no common denominator
there's really not. No. I
think Jamie's trying to figure out if she's one of them. She's
No, not even close, Glenn.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
But when she goes to 5 dogs, I'm calling you, Marie. You're going to
I'll probably have a hand in that if she does. So.
Exactly. Great. I told Marie, I'm like, after Christmas, we can't be friends anymore. I have two horses and a dog for you. But no, but you've given me, I mean, because, and I wanted to take this and spin it to the positive that what you guys are doing down at the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office and the MASH unit is you rescue these dogs and you rehabilitate them. I mean, that dog you were just talking about, but just talk about like Joy, the situation that she was in and what her, I mean, when I went to the vet that she'd been to, they had a file that was like, I mean, it was like a Bible. It was so thick. And they said, oh, yeah, this is your file. I'm like, what? Just the amount of money and where does the money come from and how much good are you guys doing?
Well, the money is strictly donation.
Wow.
Yeah. So we really rely on the public for donations into the fund. I kind of lost my train of thought with what you were.
Well, and I was just saying, like, a dog like Joy that I have now, you said she had a broken jaw and then the hip and all this stuff, and now she's fine. And how did that come to be?
Well, that case, and I'm actually still working that case. Well, that's okay, because what we already know is she wasn't cared for medically or fed properly, and that, you know, I'm still working that case, but that will go to court eventually. And that person, I've actually arrested, probably 4 or 5 years back for the same type of thing, failing to provide medical treatment. And it's just another incident of her failing to do what she needed to do as an owner.
And do you find a recurring like that over and over and over again? Did people tend to, even though they might have something, you know, a piece of paper saying you're not allowed to own any more animals, do you find that happens often?
Well, first of all, when we get a case and it goes through the court and they're found guilty, it is ordered that they cannot own animals for the length of their probation. At the end of their probation, then they can own animals again. So that's kind of the downside, you know, that they can. But hopefully they learn a lesson from it, that it is animal cruelty. And the sheriff's office investigates that. And it's no joke because you wind up in jail.
And I love the fact that I can look outside my backyard and see a couple horses that have come from really hard times. And I know that those people went to jail.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's one of the bright spots. And the bright spot is that, you know, these horses, they were starved, like Jet was starved and was just a sack of bones when he was taken in.
He was.
And by the time I adopted him, he had weight. He was healthy. He was ready to be trained. And that's what you guys do down there at the MASH unit. And you do dogs and horses and cats. And I think I saw a pig out there. There's goats. I mean, there's all sorts
turtles,
of animals.
You name it. We've had it down there at the MASH 1 and 2.
I do have a question to follow up on what you were saying earlier. So if somebody's in a situation where they've gotten in over their head, and, you know, most of these people, you know, except for the ones who just are out there, most of these people have good intentions when they start. And then life gets in the way or bad luck or whatever it is gets in the way, and then they don't know what to do, and then they're just in over their head and they do nothing, which is human nature. But what can they do? So I've got 10 dogs. I realize I'm in over my head. I can't afford to feed them. I don't know what to do. And that's at the point where they do nothing a lot of times.
Right.
What can they do?
Well, there are rescues out there. There are options. Turn them into the Humane Society. Turn them into the pound. Nobody likes to turn them in. I understand that because they for fear of them being euthanized. But the other option is to let them starve to death. So, you know, at which point that person would be held liable. So rescues, the Humane Society, animal care and control, find a friend that will take care of them.
Craigslist.
Yeah, there's options out there. Rather than just to sit and let them starve to death, which is a lot of times what we get is starvation or medical treatment, they just let it be. They don't do anything. And, you know, it's hard to understand. Well, you should have done something, you know. And some people claim, well, I didn't know you know, I didn't know that you can't do that. But, you know, some people think it's not wrong to smoke marijuana either, but, you know, it's still a crime. So.
Right. Right. Wow. Well, fascinating that just to kind of pick your brain a little bit about it. And I guess, you know, I was going to say, where can people find more? But we've already covered Pet Finder, and the dogs that are available are on Pet Finder. The horses that are available for adoption from MASH are conveniently located in one location on Facebook.
Yes.
At just facebook.com/adopthorses.
They also did put up a Facebook page for all the dogs now. So it's under a MASH unit for the dogs. So there is one now for the dogs. And we have, let me get you the numbers, 64 dogs and 75 cats that need homes.
Wow. And how many horses, let's see, currently are available for adoption at MASH?
I think there are only two now, thanks to you and the Facebook.
Wow.
Yeah, I think... There will be soon four, as soon as these cases get adjudicated, which is coming up pretty quick. There'll be four more, and then the others, you know, that still has to go through court.
And then there's a court case that we won't mention that has a whole lot of really nice thoroughbreds standing around waiting for Marie and I to train them at MASH. So
yeah, they are beautiful.
So when that happens, don't call me. Don't call me.
Well,
don't tell me.
You've seen them. You know how beautiful they are.
I know. I'm a sucker for rescue thoroughbreds, too. So anyway, well, Marie, thank you so much for being on with us and for all that you do in speaking for the animals. And you can take it that one step further than any of us can. And that is throwing a set of cuffs on somebody and putting them in the back of your car. So we do appreciate what you do. It can be dangerous. It can be scary. And you're just an amazing woman, and we appreciate you being on.
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad that we get the message out there that the sheriff, you know, doesn't put up with animal cruelty and they go to jail.
And that is why I vote for him every time, without a doubt. I don't care anything about politics at all. The man has an animal crimes unit and will put you in jail for messing around with a horse or a dog. And I just appreciate that. And he will have my vote forever. He'll be here until he's 112 and finally retires. If I have anything to do with it.
All right. Thank you, Marie.
Well, thanks, Marie.
Well, thank you.
Deputy Marie Trombi from Animal Crimes Unit. Here in Maricopa County. Makes me proud to live in this county, you know?
It should. And, you know, I'm very proud of you, too, because you put a lot of time and effort in. Just what she said, obviously, she's very appreciative of the time and effort you've put into helping these animals find home. And that's not just the ones you adopt, but other people, too.
Yeah, that's true. I have adopted a few, not going to lie. But, and when you adopt them, you know, don't think you're going to go in there and adopt a horse and then flip it. You know, like, oh, I'll just train it and sell it. It doesn't not work like that. When you adopt an abused, starved, neglected horse, and then they finally have someone to trust and they finally bond with you like that, oh my gosh, I'm gonna have Jet and Joey until the day they die. Like, it is not even funny. And Chad understands that at this point. He's like, we can't adopt anymore because the idea of what you're supposed to do with them has not come to fruition.
Yeah, like make money so we can eat. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. No, but they eat. I'll starve before they will.
That's
and that's the difference in a normal horse person is, like, our horses will eat first. Our dogs will eat first.
They have better clothing than we do most of the time.
I know. Yeah. I would love to get new shoes every 6 weeks, but it just doesn't happen.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this. We had a lot of terrific guests today in our look at the canines out there. It's been a lot of fun for us, too, because we have our dogs. As we said, our dogs are sleeping right at our feet most days when we do this show in the morning. So, you know.
Or barking behind us, or, oh, that'd be me, because your dog doesn't bark. But barking behind us, or, like, they go underneath my desk, and they'll turn off the power strip, and that's when I'll lose my connection. I'll go off the air. Like, that's what our dogs do. They're so helpful.
That's right. They're so helpful. Well, and we hope you enjoy your dogs. Give them an extra pet and maybe a little snack from us today. We will be back here on Monday morning. Jennifer and I will, actually. Jamie has the day off, and we're going to be back here from the American Equestrian Trade Association in King of Prussia near Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where it's much, much colder. We are leaving our 75-degree weather. The high today in Philadelphia is a 22 or something, and the low tonight's supposed to be 12. So why we're doing this, I don't know, but because
you notice I skated out of going to Philadelphia in January.
It's supposed to snow again too.
So. It's just really stupid.
I don't know why they don't have this particular conference in like Orlando or Phoenix. Either place would be great. I'd be happy to attend it there, and I think everybody else would be too. They must get a tremendous discount for doing it in Philadelphia in the middle of winter. But we'll be there live on Monday with a whole bunch of new products that are coming out for 2013. So listen in then. Thank you so much, Jamie. You have a terrific weekend. You're heading off to Vegas, aren't you?
Whoop, whoop. Going to Vegas. My husband does know that I am going to Vegas.
Oh, you told him.
I did tell him. I was not going to take your advice, but only because it's a military base and I have to know where they're staying.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. So he's not on the strip in a hotel somewhere?
They're just outside the base, so right. I can't lie. They're at a hotel with a casino, and he's been a very good boy, and he's called me every night, and it's been fun. So now I get to go attack Vegas in a new way, because usually I'm hammered and gambling, and now I'm pregnant, and I go to bed at like 9.
This will be the first trip to Vegas that you remember.
I know. It's going to be great. I'll probably lose all my money this time, because I'm not drunk.
Can you play a hand or two of blackjack for me, too?
We'll see about that, my friend.
All right, good. Well, have a terrific weekend, everybody.
All right, everybody. Definitely, if you haven't learned spay, neuter, and geld, do it, please.